The top of Memud Aleph. The Gemara starting with four lines down. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim. It says, "Dibore koach osid varo shmoa b'kol varo." It's true that the pasuk is talking about malachim. They lift out the first two words of the pasuk, but the Gemara is going to darshan it with regards to Talmidei Chachamim and Tzaddikim. And obviously, in some way, they're synonymous in being emissaries of Kodesh Baruch Hu. So it says, "Gibori v'chorach osed varo gishma b'kol varo kigon." What's this like? Rabbi Tzadok v'chavei rav. So what's the story? Rabbi Tzadok tavate hai matronita. So this matron again had proposed to Rabbi Tzadok. So this continuation or similar to the story which we just had with Chanina bar Papi. Now the real question is, why is he having so much trouble? I mean, that you'll see in a second that he can't escape from it. So Rashi says that she was an isha gedola haita, that she was a important woman in some way. She ain yachol lipater mimena, that he was unable to disengage from her. I mean, that to leave without just say, you know, I'm out of here. Umasur bi adala her go, and she had the ability to put him to death. If he didn't listen to what she said, he would put him to death. So here she is, and she proposes to him. Amarla chalash lili bay. He says, I can't do it. I'm too weak. I can't engage with you. So either so something to eat, so that I can revive myself. So Amarle ika dabar tame. So he says, she says back to me, I have something, I have some non-kosher food, some awful food for you. So now, the way our Gemara reads is Amar Law, Rashi actually does not have the word law in his gear, so you can see that in the Divrei HaMatzchil, that's at the top there, he says Amar Mai, and it probably makes more sense that Rabbi Tzilak was actually speaking to himself. So he says, Amar Mai Nafkamino, David, right, what's the, you know, I mean, why I asked him for food? The only food that she has is some Dabar Tameh, I mean, like something that's obviously unkosher food. Because how, well, right, what's the reason that she picked, or I was given this food to eat? And that he was, I think, reflecting to himself that obviously that what he was about to do was wrong, and therefore Hashem was sending one message by the food which she was going to provide for him. So she fired up the oven, kaman chatle. So she was about to putting the food in there. Salik v'yati b'gabe. So Rabbi Tzadok jumped into the oven and sat in there. So Amrale, she says, "Damn, my hat! What's going on here? What are you doing inside the oven?" Amrale, the oven ha novil b'ha. Whoever goes through with what you're proposing ends up inside of here in this furnace. So Amrale, this is a surprising answer. She says to him, "Iade kule hi, lotze articha. Had I known that Jews were so makbid on this type of behavior, I would never have put you through all this trouble." So I guess she let him go free or out after that point in time. But you see that Rabbi Tzadok, this is the idea. Gibori korach will say to Baro, Shmo b'kol Baro. Again, the ability to withstand the pressures or the temptations here that Rabbi Tzadok had. Rav Kahana, how come Mizavin Dikule? I think either like him, or the Gemara is about to bring another example of Rav Kahana, so I don't know if that's considered quote unquote Chavei Rav. Or Chavei Rav is just a general, right, like you're saying, more generic term, which means people similar to, right, Rabbi Tzadok. Kahana, it's even more interesting story. How come Mizavin Dikule? He used to sell, palm branch baskets. So it's something that women used. It was an item that women used. So there were women frequently coming to buy in his store where he was selling. So he was faced with the same problem that he was proposed by a matron. So he says, "Let me go get dressed. You know, let me go get it all. You know, we're fixed up before we have this encounter." So he ran upstairs, but jumped off the roof. Now he committed suicide. He's been jumped off. He didn't want to be put into such a precarious situation. Ata Eliyahu Kabla. Eliyahu Navi came over and caught him before he hit the ground. Samalei, so Eliyahu says to Rav Kahana, "Itrachton Abba Mea Parse." you caused me to come 400 parsaot, meaning that I was busy with something else. And they called me up and they said, oh yeah, we'll get over here. And I said, says, I'm busy, they're busy. And they called me up and they said, you gotta be over here to take care of Rav Kahana. I had to get over here. He says, Hamalei, me firmly, Laban, you tough. Says, what are you talking about? He says, you know, the only reason that I'm stuck in this position is because I'm so poor. So poor, I have to sell all this, I have to sell this women's baskets, and that's what caused the whole problem. So Eliyahu says, yeah, you lay sheep at the dinari. Gave him a basket full of, some sort of utensil full of gold coins in order to carry him over a little bit. So that's exactly that. So you don't have to, Eliyahu wouldn't have to show up on the make that long trip again. Okay, so now the Mario switches gears and goes back to the what we discussed yesterday, the Mishnah from or the Brisa from Peah, but Rami Le Rov Rav Nachman Tnan. The Mishnah, Elu Dvarim, Shadam Oseotam, Veochel Perotayam Olam Hazeh, Vakirin Kareem Ad Olam Haba. So these are items that have benefit both in this world and the world to come. So Elohim, the examples which we're all familiar with, we say it every morning, Kibud Avayim, Mut Chasadim, Vachalom Ben Adam, Lechavero, Vatamuturah, Keneged Kulam. So now the Gemara is going to ask, how do we know each of these items? The Kibud Avayim, Ketiv, how do I know it works by Ketiv Avayim? It says, Laman Yerichon Yamecha, Ulaman Yitavach. So as we said before, right, Chayecha is Olam Hazeh, right, Baruch Yamim, the Olam Haba. So there's a double lashon of Yerichon Yamecha is the Olam Shukulu Aruch, which is Olam Haba. Laman Yitavlach is Toba is the Chayecha in Olam Hazeh. Milut Chasadim Ktiv, by Milut Chasadim it says,
the fact that first it talks about the Olam Haba.
And then the Olam Hazeh, right, very good.
Regular mitzvahs in general, with the Tzara is Olam Haba. Right, the addition of the year is that you also get Tzara in Olam Hazeh.
Right, well that's the Karen, right? The Karen is the Olam Haba, and the Perotayim, right, are in Olam Hazeh. So I think it's a valid point that they put Olam Haba first. So the Gemilut Chasdim Ktiv, Rov Dik, Stakav Chasid, someone who chases after Tzedak and Chasid, Yimtzach Chayim, Staka V'Chavod. So again here, Yimtzach Chayim, Chayim here being life being Olam Haba, and then Staka V'Chavod is that you have benefits in this world as well from that. Uva Shabbat Shalom Ktiv, Bakish Shalom V'Radfeu. You should chase after peace, and bringing reconciling differences. So there's a parallel between the Gemilut Chasadim, the possible Bar Gemilut Chasadim, and Havat Shalom, because they both have the term redifa in them, and that Zeir Shavu will tell us that the same is applicable to Havat Shalom ben Adam Lechavero. Talmud Torah Ktiv says by Talmud Torah, Kihu Chayecha, right, Be'orech Yamecha. So this is interesting. So as opposed to the others, here, Kihu Chayecha, Chayecha is Olam Hazeh, Be'orech Yamecha is the Olam Haba, because it's Arichut Yamim. So as opposed to all the others, where the Olam Haba comes first, and then the Olam Hazeh, in this instance, it's the Chayecha is first, and then Orech Yamecha afterwards. It might be possible because Torah is a guide to life, meaning that it's not simply, you know, Talmud Torah is a reward in this world, but it's also a way for a person to have guidance or direction, right, how to conduct their life. So Hagmar says, wait, did you leave out one? Shloch HaKan. Narachtiv. What does it say, Mishloch? Okay, Laman Yitablach, Farach Yamim. Right, so again, we have that double Lashon, which seems to indicate that if it's Yitablach, should be Olam Hazeh, and Arachat Yamim should be the Olam Haba. So Litni Amiha. So why don't we include Shloch HaKan in that list? So a ton of a shiur. So when it says, it's not an exhaustive list. You know, he was giving a number of items. It says, Pani Tano, Ilu Atvarim. He says, these are the items, and he's going to go to list them, and he says, I'll leave a couple out. I mean, it sounds like it is an exhaustive list here. Atamar Tano Vashir. So I'm a rabbi of Idi Asperli. He explained to me. So Gemara is going to go through a drasha, and based on the drasha, the Gemara is going to say that's the explanation why Shlach HaKam was left out. So it says, Imru Tzadik Kitov. Right, tell the tzaddik, or they will tell the tzaddik that things are good. Ki, frimialehem yolechelu. They will eat, they will benefit from the derivatives of their actions. The chi is tzaddik tov. So why is the pasuk Torah talking about a gemi tzaddik ki tov? What does it mean? Tzadiki tov, tzadik she'enu tov. What does it mean? There's certain tzadikim that are good and not certain tzadikim that are bad. I mean, isn't it, should be the definition of a tzadik is someone who is tov. Ella, tov la'shamayim ulibriot, ze tzadik tov. Someone is good to people and is good to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is a tzadik tov. I mean, that he is, right, he's a person who has a simenotin min of briot, that he's also has a demeanor or conduct with others that is also pleasant, then it's a tzaddik tov. Tov l'shamayim, v'ra'l b'riyot, someone who only has focus or emphasis on bin adam l'makom, but not on bin adam l'chabero, he's v'ra'l b'riyot, zehu tzaddik she'enu tov. He's a tzaddik, but he's a tzaddik she'enu tov. So that is, how does that solve our problem? That solves our problem just because all the mitzvot above are requirements of someone who is, right, has both Tov l'Kadosh Baruch Hu and Tov l'Briot, which is absent in the case of Shluch HaKan. So I'll read you what Rashi says. It's interesting. It's very telling. But he says, "Avdal Shluch HaKan Tov l'Shamayim Hu Ve'in Kan Tov l'Briot." Right. So that he's saying that's Tov l'Hashem and not Tov l'Briot. So now, what's important? Right. So it's not. I think mean rather Briot is as the opposite. I don't know if it necessarily means that he's evil, but that he's not someone who has necessarily engenders. Right, exactly. I don't think he doesn't have the positive on both sides. I'm not sure when you say rather Briot has to necessarily be actually lead, that he has to do negative actions towards people. But I guess by definition, if he's not conducting himself in a good manner, that is rather Briot. Where Rashi formulates it's very interesting, which is that Shluch HaKan is not told to Briot. So you would have thought Briot includes all creation, right? But it's clear from Rashi is that we're talking about humans. That, you know, it's many times people are very kind to animals and not kind to humans. I mean, that they take a precedence over animals. But here Rashi is kind of defining what told to Briot means is Tov to people. I mean, that when a person conducts themselves and when it's the, or the demand on conduct is between people and other people. I don't think it means there isn't a need to have akumim or to have to interact. But it's clear here when the Gemara is defining what a tzaddik is, it's important to know that the status of what tov l'briot means is really is focused on human interactions and not on, right, just because you treat the animals well, it doesn't mean that you're a tov l'briot. Right, so he also got davar. So now we have the opposite. The pasuk continues, atah omer oy l'rasha ra, that, you know, woe is to the bad rasha, ki gmul yadav yashalo. He will be paid, you know, all that he does. So again, the chiyesh rasha ra, what, I mean, why is he called the bad rasha? What about the good rasha? I mean, what does that mean? Why, how can you modify rasha with the word ra? The chiyesh rasha ra v'yesh eino ra, ela ra l'shamayim v'ra l'briot hu rasha ra. Person is bad both to Hashem and to others. That's called the rasha ra. And the examples that Rashi brings down are rotzeach, gazlan, ganav. Here are people who creates problems for people as well as a Kadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, Rala Shemayim, Eino Rala Briot, Zeh Rosh Sheino Ra. But someone who is Rala Shemayim, but Eino Rala Briot, Zeh Rosh Sheino Ra. Again, I think the examples that Rashi brings are very interesting. He says, Migale Arayot, Vivazem Adim Ochel Chele. So Vivazem Adim Ochel Chele makes sense. Migale Arayot does have impact on others and can have social impacts and could be Rala Briot. So I'm just interested that Rashi picked Migale Arayot as one of the examples of Rala Shemayim, but Eino Ra. L'briot, I mean that it's not so clear. It can be in instances where it's not Rala Briot, but there are other instances where it is Rala Briot. You infect other people by conducting oneself in illicit relations. Anyway, what Shaul is saying is correct, that it's over there, and the assumption here in the Gilei Reyot is they have a willing partner, and therefore it's not a problem. My issue with that is that if you have, say, for instance, a couple, right, and then someone has an extramarital affair, then that's, you can't consider that not the briot, which is the other party is injured by the situation, by the conduct that's conducted here. All right. Aschut, yesh la keren, v'yesh la perot. Good things, or mitzvot that one can do, has both a keren and perot. Shneamar, because it says imru tzadik ki tov. So the pasuk we just quoted over there, and then it says ki prima alehem, right? The derivatives of their actions yochelu, their weight avera yesh la keren ve'in la perot. Whereas when it comes to avera, it has the core but no derivatives. Why is that? Shneamar or the rasha ra? By all the rasha ra, it says ki gmu yadav yaselo, which means that only directly what he did, he will be repaid. The word pri is absent from the pasuk when it comes to that which one does bad. So so the suggestion right now is that a mitzvah, if one conducts oneself or has a mitzvah, that will have impact greater than the maaseh itself, I mean greater than the what would be considered to be equivalent to reward it will have, whereas by an avera, one will only have, right, the deficit that they generated through the avera. So what are you going to do with the pasuk? It says, but yuchlu mipridarcham umolat adayem isbo, that they will eat the fruits, derivatives of their ways, and their schemes they'll be satisfied with their schemes. So that sounds like, that's obviously in the negative form, right? In the formulation of Mishlei, Aleph is talking about someone who does not go on the right path. They end up with pre, and you see the term pre is used over here, pre-darkam. So avirah osip pirot, yeshla pirot. So an avirah which has derivative impact will also be punished with derivative impact. What's the example Rashi gives is, to go into Hashem. Shadam chashuv over avirah, v'acherim lemedim imenu lasot kein. And that Chul Hashem not only has the impact of being mechalel shem shamayim, but it has a derivative impact that others learn from such a person to act or conduct themselves in such a way. Say also, lashon hara, other types of avirot, which have more impact than just the direct avirah itself, they have derivative impact, they have shoshelet, right? They have chain reactions from the avera that's conducted, so the punishment will also be that way. The sheino said perot, a regular avera, which doesn't have that type of impact, ain la perot. Now, machshava tova mitzarefet l'maaseh. When it comes to, if a person has a good thought, right, then we add it into the maaseh, I mean that it comes a part of the maaseh. Shenemar, az nidbru yirei Hashem ish el reyu, vayakshev Hashem vayishma, vayikatev sefer hazikaron l'tanav, yirei Hashem ulechoshvei shemo. Right, so the yirei Hashem is speaking to each other, Hashem listens, vayishma, he hears, vayikatev sefer hazikaron l'tanav, he writes it down, yirei for who? Yirei Hashem ulechoshvei shemo. So yirei Hashem, but what is the choshvei shemo? People are thinking about him, what does that mean? My choshvei shemo, what does it must be? What is choshvei shemo? Must be a machshava tova. Hashem's writing down the good thoughts as well. So Amar Rav Ashi, if you choshev adam lasuk mitzvah b'ne'enas, person thought to do a mitzvah, and then for some reason an onis came up and he was unable to perform the mitzvah. Lo asa malaka lava katuv ki lo asa. As if he did it, meaning that the choshvei shemo, machshava is sufficient to get reward. Obviously, it's a case where he was ne'enas, where there was no onus that prevented him from doing the mitzvah. If he just thinks about the mitzvah and doesn't do the mitzvah, that does not afford him the reward of doing the mitzvah. So we saw two things about machshava tova. One is machshava tova. If a person then carries out the mitzvah, Hashem is mitzdarif the machshava tova to the maaseh. Secondly, we saw that a machshava tova, if a person goes to do something and for some reason an onus prevents them from, right, prevent them from actually performing such a mitzvah, the machshava tova will count as a positive item. So Bara'a, Hanakar Baruch Hu, mitzarefet l'maaseh. When it comes to a bad thought, Hashem is not mitzarefet to the maaseh, and so therefore you do not get punished, right, for the, you do not go punished for the machshava that goes along with the actual action. Shneamar, aven im ra'iti b'libi lo yishma Hashem. Right, so iniquity, if I see it in your hearts, lo yishma Hashem. Hashem will not listen to it. I mean that Hashem doesn't pay attention to those machshavot ra'ot unless you actually exercise or take action on those machshavot. What do I do with this pasuk? Strange, the pasuk here is quoted entirely wrong. I don't know why. Pasuk really reads, Hine anochi mevi ra'a ela amazeh pri machshavotam. And so the pasuk says that I'm going to bring bad to this nation, meaning talking about Klal Yisrael during the time of the end of Bayit Rishon, because as a retribution for pre machshavotam, right? It's going to be the derivative of their bad thoughts. So it says, well, it sounds like they get punished for their machshavot. When it says machshava she'oseh pri. Right, so here, the gears to change, the bach changes it to machshava she'oseh. That doesn't even mean pre. And machshava, that's carried out, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maaseh. Then Hashem connects it to the maaseh. Machshava she'in bapri, or according to the way the Gezabach would say it, is machshava that doesn't have a maaseh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maaseh does not include it. So, I mean, as opposed to a good thought, right, which he said, number one, a good thought, if you do the maaseh, is attached to the maaseh. But even if you do not do the action, right, Vasi was machadish, that you still get the benefit or the reward for thinking the good thought. When it comes to a bad thought, the only time the bad thought will be included or you'll be punished for the bad thought is if it's connected to a maaseh. You actually are botseya, I mean vatseya. You actually carry out the thought. You take action on the thought, then you will be punished. What are you going to do with this pasuk from Yechezkel? The man supposed to speak to Israel, Billy Bum, Shem caught or entrapped in Israel because of that which was in their hearts. Sounds like they get punished for what was in their hearts. That's written by Avodah Zarah. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, we're talking about different rules. Amar Mar, Chamura Avodat Kochavim, Chamura is such a stringent or right, grave Avera, I should call it Kofer Ba, Kemodah Kochavim Zarah Kula. Whoever is Kofer Ba, I mean whoever rejects Avodah Zarah, is as if he accepts, right, or connects to the whole Torah, and obviously the opposite, which I think that's what the formulation is doing in the positive, but the negative formulation is that whoever accepts the Avodah Zarah is, right, Kikofer B'Kol Torah Kua, this is if he rejects the entire Torah. I mean, the severity of Avodah Chachamim makes a demand that even if one has a machshava b'leiva about Avodah Chachamim, then we have a problem. So this, based on so far, what we've said is that by machshava, when it comes to a negative machshava, if one simply has a negative machshava, that is not enough to be punished for it, and one will not be punished. In addition, right, we have an exception to that rule, which is that if it's a avodah zarah, then you will be punished for such a machshava. If one actually carries out the thought, the bad thought, then they will be held accountable. Since they took the action, then they will be mitzarek the, right, action or the machshava that they had. With the action, you will be punished for both the action and the machshava. Now, the question. Marsha says, what is the story by Onis? What happens if you have an Onis by Masara? And the Marsha suggests that one would be punished. In a case, if it's the onus that prevents one from carrying out the Masa Avera, then it would be considered that he would have done the Avera.
From the
context, right? So the Marsha says, what suggests what you're saying. That is that correct? That the one who's nanak not to do the Avera, because there's a lack of opportunity, that would be considered as if he was Botea the Masa, as if he carried it out, and therefore he would be punished for such a Machshava. So now, who suggests a different answer to this problem? Kidder Rav Huna. He says, no, the answer is like Rav Huna. Dam Rav Huna came in Shavar Adam Avera, Bishan above. Once a person is over an Avera and repeats it, Hutralo comes like it's Mutar for him. He says, Hutralo? Sakad Akwa Akarim, Mutar Ella. I said, Lo, Keheter becomes like Heter to him. It comes as if there's no problem to do it. So Rashi reads this. By the way, Rashi explains this, Ula is coming to explain the pasuk of pre-machshavotam. When he comes to explain what's pre-machshavotam, does it mean that you'll be held accountable for your machshava? Is that a person who's over in Avera and Shoneba. So when he kihadar maharher lasot, when a person goes again, after they've done it once or twice, and it's natural to look ahead, if he starts thinking about doing it, then we say that the lasot, mitzarek of the maaseh, those later thoughts will be mitzarek to the original maaseh. Why? Bafilo avidlo. Even if he doesn't do it, in chazaratot l'shem shamayim. Because the reason he didn't do it has nothing to do with doing tshuva. Aslo hutzrachla, he didn't need it, or somehow an onis prevented him from doing it. So because it's not to look ahead there, that means that in his mind there's no reason to stop. So therefore, if he has a bad machshava, we assume it's as if he's done it, because the only reason he would be stopped is because there is an exogenous variable that stopped him from doing it, not because he himself pulled back or stopped himself from doing it. I thought that it's equally can explain the second question, which is not supposed to be Shobi Libam, but the same idea that it could be that Ula's explaining that pasuk as well. He can be explaining what the idea of Machshava Ra and how it works over here. I suggest it's explaining pre-Machshavotam. Right, so now Amar Rabbi Bo, Mishum Rabbi Chanina, Noach Lodom, Shiavur, Avera B'Seter, Vayachal Kalel Shem Shemayim B'Far Hester. Better for a person to do an Avera privately than to do it publicly and be Mechalel Shem Shemayim, Mishinemar. Atem Beit Yisrael, Komar Shem, Ish, Yulav, Luchu Abdu, Abodu, right? Go and worship, you know, your little idols. inchem shomim elai, and it's because already, look, listen, you're already not listening to me, that shem kodshi lo tukhalu, at least don't be mechalal my shem shemayim. And if you're going to do a avodah zarah anyway and not listen to me, go do it in the privacy of your home. Don't go do it out in the continuation of the pasuk is, oh, b'matnot techem, yugugul lechem, don't go do it out in the public forums, because in public forums it's also mechalal shem shemayim. So at least if you're going to do the avera, keep it quiet. Do it by yourself. A person sees that his yitzir is overcoming him. You go to a place where they don't recognize him or they don't know him. He'll dress in black. He'll wrap himself up in black. He has sick, emotionally book face. And then he does whatever he wants. Be mechalal shem shemayim in public. It says, "Meini, is that really true?"
If a person does this, does he get rewarded for singing in this?
So we'll see in a second. So my colleagues have shown him here how to learn this. Meini, is this really true? Vatanya. Then we have a brisa. So that's just interesting. Here with Mark, what says in brisa? Alright, so it goes a brisa. Koshlo chas. Right, so we have others that say it's none, it's a Mishnah, that whoever's not Machas, whoever doesn't worry about Kvod Shemayim, Ro'i Lo Shalom Bali Olam, Mahi. So what is that? Rav Omer, Zamis Takel B'Keshet. This one looks at the rainbow. And someone looks at the rainbow, that is, it's not Chas Al Kvot Kono. Yosef Omer, Zil Ver Avira B'Seder. This is someone who's over Avira in private. So Mary said, well, if he's over in Avera, but safe there, sounds like you shouldn't do that. That's a violation of Kvod Kono, because you don't worry about Kvod Shemayim, you just go in private and do what you think. So Mary says, hello, Kasha, had the Matzi Kaif Leitzrei, had the Matzi Kaif Leitzrei. If he was able to control Zitzara, and he still does the Avera, then that Avera is a Gia in Kvod Kono, in Kvod Shemayim, Kvod Kono. But if Lo Matzi Kaif Leitzrei is unable to control himself, then he should take the advice of Rabbi Eloy Zakein, and take himself off to somewhere where he's not mechalal shem shemayim, especially where he does it privately, where he does it in a quiet place. He's going to have to be, if he's going to have to be over there, Beira, at least go somewhere where it will not create a chibul Hashem. So now it's not Hadom. We have a Mishnah. Now the Mishnah, it says Mishnah in Avot, which this does not read like the Mishnah we have in Avot. Alright, so either have an alternative Girsa in the Mishnah Avot, or the possibility, it also suggests here, the possibility that it should be a, it should be a brisa, possibly. Maybe it should be a brisa. It's based or similar to the Mishnah and Avot, which is Eimek Yifin B'Chilul Hashem Echad Shogeim Echad Mizid. That there is no kupa. Kupa here means there's no loans. When you go to the store and you put it on kupa, means that you put it on credit. So a person normally, a person's over Avera, Hashem puts it on the credit, and he sees if the person approves, he can change it. When it comes to Chilul Hashem, Hashem does it right away. Miyad, you're punished. There's no waiting to see what's going to happen. Punishment comes right away. Echad Shogeim Echad Mizid. We have our mission in Avot. Reads Kol Mechalel Shem Shemayim set there, and Yifrayim Yemeinu B'Galui. So that's the Rabbeinu Chananel says it's the equivalent of Mishnah. If someone who does a Chilul Hashem seder, they take from him in public, meaning that the Piraon is immediate and harsh. That there is no waiting and there's no kupa over here. We don't do it like a storekeeper. That he comes to teach you. No, not that. Right, that ima kafin, but ima kafin, as Rashi says, is lashon iuni. If you look into it, we had this case before that we said if you had the equal mitzvot in Averot, and you had one of those mitzvot that had keren kayimah olam haba, that mitzvot would be machriya to the tzad, positive side. So over here we have the opposite. That if you have equal mitzvot in Averot and you have chilul Hashem in the category of the Averot, that'll push you over to the negative side, and that's what it means ima kafin. So now a couple of questions. One is right. If you have a Chilul Hashem to say there, and that's because any of the rise of Chilul Hashem, which we just saw before, because Rabbi Yosef said, what is Shlo Chas Al Kvod Kono? That's Ober Avirah B'Seder. That's someone who is Ober Avirah B'Seder. That is a Chilul Hashem. Now, Chilul Hashem, in our mind, is always it involves other people. That's not true. Chilul Hashem is anything that is Memayit Shem Shemayim, anything that diminishes the Kvod Shemayim. Person does a Avera B'Seder, there is diminishing Kvod Shemayim, and that is a Chilul Hashem. The question as to the advice of Rabbi Elias Akein suggests that a person who has to be over Avera should go out and do it privately, and not do it where in the place where people know him. But is that that's really true, that it should be over the Avera. So Rabbi Hanano and others in Shas, in the number of places that this advice is mentioned, say, and you can see it up in Tosfos, brings it back over here, Peish Rak, see, Chos B'Sholom Sehuta Lo La'Avor Avera. The Lord Zakein's advice is not that he should actually do the Avera, but rather, if he conducts himself in such a manner, that will break his Yitzhara, and then he won't do the Avera. How does he convince the Yitzhara to go and do this? He said, listen, all right, we'll go to this other town, I'll do it in private, I'll put on flag, we'll cover up, we'll go over to this place, and I'll go to the Avera. By the time he gets there and he travels there, well, then it's going to break him down, and you'll be able to overcome the Yitzhara. So Rak says the advice is simply a ploy to overcome the Yitzhara, and that it can mean in Gullus, and Lubash Chorim, you know, rendering one's clothes, all these things that take them to a place where they can overcome the Yitzhara, but not that the advice is that you should actually be over the Avera. As opposed to that, Rashi says, Rashi says, even if he sins, in Adam no tin leiv. People don't pay attention because he's not known in that city. It's clear from Rashi, right, and Tosfos mentions it in other basic places, is that the advice of Rabbi Zakein is that he could actually do the Avera. Look, we attempt to stop it. The idea of going away to another city, the idea of going to Korim is an attempt to stop the Yitzhara. But in the end, if he can't stop it, it's still better that he does it in a place where nobody knows him, because that reduces the Chil Hashem that is generated. There's still Chil Hashem, but that Chil Hashem is greatly diminished because people don't learn from him and don't know him in that city. Gemara says, Tarabana, Lo lam yirei adam atzmo, my person should always look at himself, filu chatzio chayav, v'chatzio zakai. So if he's always on the scales are always equal. Osei mitzvachat, ashrav, shekri atzmo lekavzchut, right, if he does one mitzvah, should be praised for moving the scale in his favor. Avar v'erachat, oy lo, shekri atzmo lekavchubah. Again, if he does one avera, should consider that since each avera and each mitzvah are so important because he's in the balance. And if he puts himself on the mitzvah side, he pushes himself to the tzatzchut, so he doesn't have a right, he's going to push himself to the side of being a rasha. On the kaf kolbah, shneamar b'chutechad yavei tova harbei b'shvil chayti chidi shakata ovei mimena tovot harbei. So a chote, the sinner, one sinner, but here the Gemara is reading as one sin, yavei tova harbei will ruin so much good, because over here there's one more sin and it pushes him the kaf kolbah, weighs him over and puts the scale on the other side, and from one little sin you could push oneself over the edge. But the laws of Rabbi Shimon Omer, he formulates it differently. The world itself also goes after the majority. And the individual also goes by the majority. So now, when Rabbi Shimon formulates it not only referring to the individual, but an individual's responsibility extends beyond himself. That when he does a mitzvah, right, not only does he impact his own, you know, classification in terms of the way of mitzvah negative, but he also affects the classification of the world, being the kafskot to the kafkoba. So it says, osim asim mitzvah chad ashrav shechriyat atzmo v'et kol ha'olam, the kafskot. It does one mitzvah, right, then he pushes himself and the whole world to the side of skut. Avar avirah chad, or on the other hand, if he's over one avirah, oy lo shechriyat atzmoet kol ha'olam, the kafkoba, that it's woe with him and the whole world that he pushed them to the kafkoba, he weighed them in the side, the other side. Shneam arvachot echad yavet tovah. So Arbe, that a person obeyed the minute Tobat Arbe, Jabet Tobar Arbe, he will lose much good. So again, Rabbi Joseph Shimon, I guess, in some ways is a ploy to say that if a person wants to look at each opportunity when it comes to a mitzvah and a mirah, if he wants to take it seriously, if he wants to make every decision be weighty, how do you consider it? So the advice, right, the first advice, so when we brought down the time of Kama, right, the verse said, just, you know, a person always thinks that his life is in the balance with each mitzvah and mirah. So he says, you can say it even more. Right, it not only is his life, but the whole world in balance with his avera. If you do that, every decision you make is so weighty. Right, it's like being the president of the country, and you make a decision that affects the whole world. Because your decision not only affects you, but affects the whole world, and therefore your decisions could carry more weight, or it'll help you make the right decision. Now his father, Rav Shimon Yochai Omer, afilu tzaddik gamor koyamav, he's a tzaddik his whole life, umarad v'achrona. And in the end, he leaves it all. Ebeid et harishonot. He loses all the good he did beforehand. Shneamar. Tzidkat ha-tzadik lo tzileno v'yom pisho. The goodness of the righteousness of tzadik will not save him on the day of his, right, his bad actions or the day of his iniquity. About you, Rasha Gamor Koyamav, and the other opposite, a person's a Rasha is all right. Aside Shuvah Bakhonah, does Shuvah at the way end? Ain't Maskirin Lo Shuv Risho. We don't even mention all the bad that he did until that point. Shnemar, Rishat Rasha, Lo Yikashel Baba Yom Shuvo Mi Risho. The bad, the evil of the Rasha, he will not trip over it, right? He will not be held accountable for it on the day that he returns from his evil ways. Okay, this tzaddik, at the end of his life, he goes ahead and he does, right, he does something bad. Why should that eliminate all the good stuff he did until that point in time? So now at least it should be equal. He did all these mitzvot, he has all this positive stuff, now he has the negative stuff, maybe he's in balance. I mean, and who says that just because there's an avera at the end of his life that it erases everything he did before? So Rish Lakish is a case with Toher Alar Rishon Lotz, where he regrets having gone all the good stuff before. Not only does an avera, but he also regrets all the positive actions he had taken until that point, and because of that, it erases all the good that he had, and it will put him only lekach kova, put him in the bad situation. Right. So next Mishnah. Anybody who's involved in learning, right, and the Mishnah, Torah, Mishnah, the Derech Eretz, Derech Eretz means Midot Tovot, lo bimheira hu chutet, will not sin easily, shnemar, v'chut ha-mishulash, lo bimheira yinatek. You come to a three-ply rope, it does not sever easily. Anybody who's not have any of these items, in a minute you shuv. He's not an inhabitant of the world. He doesn't belong in civilized society. Obviously, there are gradations between the two extremes and the person who is not civilized. How is it that the tzaddikim, or why are the tzaddikim compared to a tree that is standing in a place that's good, in a tahor place, but it's branches now overhang into a place of tumah. Niktatz nofo. If you cut off those branches that are hanging into the tumah place, kulo omeid bimkom tarat. And what's left of the tzaddik, all that you have left is the tree, the trunk, and the ikar, the main part of the tree, which is standing in the good place or in the tower place. Hashem brings Yisrim HaTzadikim in this world, so in order that they will inherit Olam Haba, meaning that the Yisrim are to take care of those branches that are hanging over in the Tamei, the bad things that the Tzadikim did. The Yisrim come to eliminate that, and all you're left with is a tree that stands only with Makom Tara, which is in Olam Haba. Your beginnings will be mitar, narrow. And your end, Yishkemod, will flourish, right, in a great way, in a plentiful way. So what does that mean? Because even in the Lama Zeh, you'll have difficulties in order to eliminate the problems, then be narrow, but when afterwards you'll end up with a, right, great or plentiful reward, which is the Olam Haba. Why are Rishaim compared to a tree that stands in a place that is Tamei? But its branches, its foliage hangs over a place that is Tahor. And once you cut off those branches, all you have left is that the tree, the trunk, the ikar part of the tree stands in a place that is Tamei. So too Hashem gives good to the Rishaim in this world, in order to ruin them and to take them down to the lowest level of Gehenem. Why? So there are people who conduct themselves and they think they're doing right. Why? Because good things are happening to them. But in the end, that is the path of death. So maybe the Rishayim think things are good. Things are good that happen to them, so they think they're going to continue in their ways because they're getting rewarded. But the truth is, why are they getting rewarded? To eliminate all the mitzvot, all the good things they've done until that point. So all that's left is the bad, and therefore they'll end up with Darchei Mavis. They'll end up on the path of death. So again, this is the idea that Rishayim have benefit in this world. They benefit in this world in order to, right, for, take away or to be repaid for all the good they've done, and therefore what will be left is only the bad, and that bad they'll be punished for the Olam Haba, the opposite of the Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, right, in this world will have bad things happen to them. The bad things that happen to them in this world is in order to remunerate them, to clear them out for all the bad things, all the avirot they've done, so that all that's left for them is the positive, which will be the Olam Haba. So they were, Rabbi Tarfon and his Kenim were sitting up in the attic of the person that was in Beit Zeh, this person in the Zeh, the Lod, that was in Lod. This question was asked them, Talmud Gadol, Umaseh Gadol. Is learning better or doing better? Which is better, Talmud, Umaseh? So now the Marsha points out that this is really a question back to our Mishnah. So Mishnah says, Achutim Shulash, Lo Bimhira Yinatik, a three-ply rope, right, doesn't easily sever. But, truthfully, when you have a three-ply rope, there's still the ikar rope or ikar string and the ply that's twisted around it. And that there's still something that is the central line, and then there's other things that reinforce the central line. So which is the central line? I mean, what's the most important thing? Is it the Mikra Mishnah, or is it the, right, the Acheres? Which is it that makes the person? So Nene Rabbi Tarfon over Meir Maseh Gadol. Rabbi Tarfon answered up and said, no, the action is the most important. Nene Rabbi Kiva Meir Talmud Gadol. Rabbi Kiva answered back and said, no, what's the greatest? The greatest thing is learning. Nene Kugam. They all said, Ramru, Talmud Gadol, learning is better. Shat Talmud Mevili De Maseh. Because learning brings you to do action. The Gemara's answer is basically a non-answer, which is right, that Talmud Gadol, learning is better because it brings you to action. So which is better now? Is it the learning that's better or the action is better? The learning is only a means to get to the action. So is the action better because the learning is the means, or is the learning better because you need the learning to get to the action? It's almost like the Gemara leaves it ambiguously. Tosfos over here tries to address it. So he says that it has to do with where a person's stage in life. A person who has not learned at all, then Talmud is Yoter Gadol. Then learning is more important because he won't know what to do unless he learns. A person's already learned, right? Then that person, Maaseh is Yoter Gadol, because he already has the means by which to go and act. So then he should go ahead into the action, because he already has the Talmud B'yadol. He already has the learning that he's done. So that's one possibility to say. Tosfos also throws out the difference between learning oneself and teaching others. Right, where the question of whether Maaseh Gadol or learning is Gadol, that's when a person is learning themselves. When it comes to teaching others, right, then it's clear that Talmud Gadol, because it's not only affecting yourself, but you're instructing or giving others the opportunity to do. And there could be that type of teaching, or quote-unquote learning, will be, right, of a greater status. Anyway. Right, 49 days, 50 days after they left Mitzrayim, they got the Torah. It says in the first year after they leave Mitzrayim. When does challah become effective? Challah only becomes effective when they enter into Eretz Yisrael. Then they had the tree of challah. So how many years later that is? That's 40 years. So Torah is greater because Torah came 40 years prior to the mitzvah of challah. Now, when does the mitzvah of Trumot Masrot only go into effect? After there's kibush v'chiluk. Right? Says, why is that? Only because they were only in chayv and Trumot Masrot. When it says tuatzar echa, shekol echad makir chalko. You have to know that it's your land and your zera, and that can only happen after kibush v'chiluk. So that's only after 14 years. So if you take that from the time the Torah was given, 40 years of the midbar to land Eretz Israel, plus another 14 years of kibush v'chiluk. Because the Torah preceded Trumot Masrot by 54 years. Now, the Shemitim is 61 years. Why? Because it counts for the Shemitah only starts after Kibush Bechilah. So 7 years later is the only time they had the first Shemitah. That would be 61 years. 40 years of, you know, the desert until they come to Eretz Yisrael. 14 years of Kibush Bechilah. And then 7 years for the Shemitah gets you to 61. So Shemitah only happens 61 years after they give you the Torah. Uli Yovelot, Me'av Shalosh. 103 for the Yovel. Why? Because the Yovel only started counting after Kibush Bechilah. So it'd be 50 years. Right after the 54th year. So the Gemara asked this question. 50 years after the 54th year is 104. So why are you saying 103? Maybe Shalosh, maybe Arba Havya. You go 50 years after the 54th year, that's 104. Kesavar Yovel Mitzchilato Hu Mishameit. This Rebbe says that Yovel is Mishameit in the beginning of the year. That the effectiveness of Yovel is in the beginning. That happens in the beginning. That you don't have to wait out the whole Yovel. It's the 49th year. The end of the 49th, beginning of the 59th, not in the 50th year, not the end of the 50th year, and that would be on the 103rd year after they got the Torah. So the Torah preceded the Yovel, the Torah preceded the Yovel by 103 years. Just like learning precedes doing, so too, when you go up to Shemayim, they can bring you to Din, they're going to bring you to Din first on the, what? On the Limud HaTorah. The Rav Amnuna. The Amar Rav Amnuna ain't collecting Osho Adam, Ela Divrei Torah. The first thing they ask you when you got up to Shemayim is Kavata Yitim LaTorah. Shneamar Puter Mayim Rishit Madon. One who, the beginning of a quarrel that begins, is like releasing a big flow of water. So over here, Mayim is obviously Torah, right? So Rishit Madon, they're being the part of Din. So the beginning of one's Din is, well, Puter Mayim, the opening of the water flowing, meaning it's Torah. Just like the din happens before the, right, that which is by maaseh, so too, a person will be, the reward is given before the maaseh. Because it says, in Tehillim, v'yitein lehem arshut goyim, v'amal le'umim yirashu. But Hashem gave them lands of the other nations, and that the work of other nations they inherited. Babur, why is this? Yishmeru chukav, v'torotav yintoru. Right, because they keep his chukim, and they will keep his Torah. So Torah is obviously, obviously that it's talking about Torah, learning of Torah. What is it? Babur yishmeru chukav. So Rashi says the word here, yishmeru chukav, we darshaned above. We darshaned above yishmeru chukav, that yishmerun is the Mishnah, is learning. I mean, not maaseh, but rather Mishnah, shamru, or mishmeret, deals with learning. So yishmeru chukav and Torah Tavim Torah both deal with learning, or getting the information, and so too, the mischar of learning comes before the schar of maasim. The din in a shamayim, when you get upstairs, that is also prior for the learning than it is for the maaseh. Tosus asked the question, the Gemara in Shabbos about Mevalikin says, what's the first question they ask you? They ask you, Nasata Venatata Be'amuna. Right? And then the Gemara says, Kavata Yitim LaTorah. So it sounds like the first question is about how you conducted yourself in business or between others, and then only do they ask you about Kavata Yitim LaTorah. So the way Tosus explained it, that's only got to do with the question. Meaning that when they ask you the questions, they ask you on Nasata Venatata Be'amuna. Then they ask you Kavata Yitim LaTorah. But when it comes to the din, when it comes to actually punishing, right, then the din is given on the kavat in the Torah, on the learning, before it's given on the sakav and the emuna, on the action. So it's two different things. One is how they question you, the other one is how they actually, right, carry out the din that is needs to be affected over here. So the Mishnah concludes that whoever doesn't have these items is inomine yishuv, he's not civilized. So what does it mean that he's not civilized? Possibly idus. He's unable to, what? He's unable to be believed as an aid. Why is that? Rashi says, because in lo boshim panim, he has no embarrassment, he has no personal integrity, or personal, he doesn't carry himself in such a manner that he cares about how other people think of him. If that's the case, he's not worried about lying. He's not worried about lying, he's not worried about, right, diminishing his stature in any way. So therefore he can't be believed in Eidut because he has no deterrent from lying when he is an Eid. So Tan Rabbanan, Ochel B'shukar, he said, Doma the Kelef. Whoever eats in the marketplace, it's like a dog. Yishomrim, Pasul the Eidut. And some people say he's Pasul the Eidut. I'm Rabbi Dibrabin, Halacha Ki Yishomrim. Halacha is like these Yishomrim, that he's a Pasul the Eidut. Someone eats in the Shuk is Pasul the Eidut. So now, what's the, so Rashi says, it's the same thing. Person who eats in the shuk, ho'il v'im makpil kodo, since he doesn't worry about his own kavod, again, he won't be embarrassed or worry about being mazazal himself, he's what? You know, lying on the stand, or that he's willing to, right, distort facts. So therefore he's made pasul le'idut. Tosus, on the other hand, says that now, what's the problem here? I mean, what is the issue with, he brings other gemaras where we see that there were tanaim that were eating in the shuk. What's the problem with eating in the shuk? Why all of a sudden is he puzzled that he does? So there, it gives, one alternative explanation is of the rock. He's actually grabbing food. He's in the shuk and he's just taking things and eating them. He says, what type of explanation is that? Of course there's something wrong with that. He's puzzled that he's stealing. So Tosus gives a nice explanation, I like it, which is that this guy goes to the shuk, he's based on Rabbi Eliyahu, that he goes to Halak Eitzalam Ochrim, he goes to all the vendors, he goes to each vendor, and he takes a little bit to taste, as if he's going to buy. But he's not intending to buy, he's making next his meal. How he gets his meal is he goes through all the different vendors, and he picks out a little food from all the vendors. So that's that's the problem. Next is ochel kekelef. That's what he explains. What does it mean, ochel kekelef? That he eats. He's eating like a dog. A dog doesn't eat in one place. He goes here, gets a little food, goes there, gets a little food. Same thing. That's what ochel kekelef. That's why it's described like a kelef. The last explanation told us is like Rabbeinu Tam, which societally I think would be more like our situation today, which is Rabbeinu Tam says that the only problem eating the soup is when he's koveya suga, when he eats a pot. Right, that's really, that's not inappropriate to set up a whole meal in the middle of the shuk and to make this establish a meal. A person having a snack, a person just eating in the shuk, like today more, we're much more like that, that a person's eating a snack that's not considered inappropriate, right, but if one sets up a whole meal in a place that's just not, you know, not considered a, where he's not going to hold up, that's inappropriate. So that's why, based on that, it also says the problem here of Sula Ethos, not like Rashi, which is not aimed up in a kvodo, but either because of the way he conducts himself, where he takes other people's food, meaning they take from the other vendors just to eat and he's not really going to buy, or because he's a Kobea Sudasso in the Shuk, it's a person who does not have, in his inappropriate manner, that's not good judgment. That's not good judgment. You can't believe him, right, when it comes to being on the stand. To Darish Bar Kapara Ragzan, Lo Al Kabaleado, El Ragzaduta. Person who gets angry, right, the person who, loses control over himself. In the end, he has nothing right left except his ragzanut, the anger that he created. I mean, it's not effective. It doesn't give him anything. All he's left to, is his anger. Ladam tov, matim al tov, mipri ma'asav. Right, so a person who's good, right, then they give him from his prima asav, meaning that from his, the fruits or derivatives of his labors. That a person should take a nether hana from him. A person should not interact with anybody who does not have mikra, mishnah, derecherets. Shinamar, umoshev leitzim lo yashav. So he says that you shouldn't, right, in Tehillim it says that a person shouldn't be amongst those that are, right, in conducting themselves in laziness or frivolity. So what is this person? The person doesn't have mikra, mishnah, derecherets. What else is going to be his occupation? Right? Moshavo, moshav leitzim. That says exactly where is he going to end up? He's going to end up in the moshav leitzim. So a person who sees, a person that has mishnah, Torah, mishnah, and derecherets, is a person who should, that you should be mother enough from him. You should remove yourself totally from him, because there's only bad going to come out of this. This guy's going to end up in a moshav leitzim. And you don't want to be connected, you don't want to be interacting with such people. So that's the idea here again, that the Masal Matan in Mabriot, we see this a number of times through this daf, that how one conducts themselves with others and the midot that people have are so important. Important to the sense that that if we told us Shemayim Tova Briot, that's what's really considered a tzaddik. And also over here we see that if a person doesn't, is lacking in this area, right, that you have to be Modar Anah, you have to remove yourself totally from them because they're going to end up in the wrong places. They're going to conduct themselves in an inappropriate manner, and these aren't the type of people that you want to interact with. Okay, we'll stop over here.